Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Driving that train, I'm cocaine. Casey Jones, you better watch your speed.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Hope you had a great week. I'm JT along with David Shurtleff here, master producer, and welcome to the Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. You know, we hear a ton of media these days about sustainability and carbon footprints and glycemic index, especially when we're talking about food we consume or we prepare and how things are done. Well, this week on The Nation, we invited and he accepted our invitation, a one-time resident of the city of Portland, Chef Gerard. Now watch, I'm not going to say it right after I just learned to say it. Viverito.
You got it.
All right. Chef Gerard is a culinary instructor at the Director of Culinary Education for Passion Fish. That's a non-government organization and nonprofit. He also has dedicated a large portion of his life. He's going to tell you more. He does a lot more than that. I had to just get that in the intro, though. Using the term, and he's dedicated his career to something called functional cooking, which I was quite interested in, because sometimes I'm quite dysfunctional, even though I cook a lot on in the media and different things like that. So let's just welcome Chef Gerard. Welcome to the nation, sir.
Thank you for having me, and I appreciate, you know, ironically enough, your intro music. My wife and I were at the Dead & Company show last night in Saratoga Performing Arts Center, so I,
hey.
I thought it was a little synchronicity, and I got a few more shows this weekend down in the city, so I appreciate that.
Excellent, excellent. Well, give us
a...
Go ahead.
Proud to be on the show, and you know, you're in a great city, because you're right, I did live in Portland, and I did, that's where I really... develop my functional cooking style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember I taught at Cordon Bleu, which was downtown.
Sure.
And I used to go out to the park blocks for the awesome farmers markets. And Portland people, you know, I got to give you guys credit. After living all over the planet, certainly most of the United States, people up there really take food to heart. I mean, the edible landscapes, chickens as pets, that just also, you know, you have functional pets. Your pets provide you with eggs. So
sure.
My cooking provides you with nutritional benefits. It's kind of like, what are the little tweaks and cheats or hacks, as they're now referred to, where you can make your food do more for you? You know, so many people are looking for the easy way or the quick way. You know, sometimes it's just a sensible way, and that's when you start your health. Everything comes into alignment, and the pounds you wanted to see start to disappear. You know, it's just a matter of doing a little bit of due diligence. Like I tell some of my students and people, why do you research which phone you're going to buy, what cell phone you're going to buy for 3 months on end, but when it comes to picking food, you just grab the first thing you see?
See, I blame microwaves and Swanson TV dinners for that. I really do.
That's the 70s.
Yeah, and I mean, I grew up, I was a kid in the 70s, but, you know, everything was quick and convenient. Quick and convenient.
Oh, yeah, no, we had the discussion last night, you know, me and my siblings. We would, in the 70s, mid-70s, argue who got what TV dinner based on what the dessert was at the little top of the tray.
Sure, sure. Get like a gooey, chewy kind of apple tart thing.
I'm not quite sure what it was.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, it was like napalm, whatever it was, burned, and
yeah,
there's a lot of damage going down.
Sticky and hurt, and, you know, but anyway, we digress, but that is true. But, I mean, we have come from that, and I think we're kind of coming full circle now, Gerard, that we can come back and look at sustainability along with good food.
I appreciate that you say it's full circle, because it's I really want to do a run of bumper stickers. You call it sustainable. My grandparents just called it cooking.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I grew up in the 70s. My grandparents from Italy. It's just you went out in the backyard, you picked what was ripe, and you made a salad out of some of it, and you cooked some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, people get all upset if they don't see a tomato on their house salad in the middle of January. I'm like, what part of the world are tomatoes growing?
Yeah.
What's the carbon footprint? What are the food miles on that? Was it even, you know, it wasn't picked ripe. It was picked nice and white and then gassed with ethylene to turn red.
Right.
So we need to start, first off, you know, what's the source of your food? Where is it coming from? Sustainability is a huge part of my life, whether I'm talking about land-based animals, water-based fish, land-based vegetables or cooking mediums. There's a whole slew of information out there. We need to use the internet for, you know, more important reasons than what most people are using it for. Do a little research from your food.
Yeah, I think, you know, put the Facebook aside for 20 minutes and look, mm-hmm. look up some stuff there. You know, and of course, again, when we're talking full circle, one of the reasons that I came on to take this show, besides I can talk for hours on it, is the fact that we're seeing now the resurgence of things away from, again, the microwaves and that type of thing, back to open fires, wood fires, very good, you know, Kamado grills, different things. And they've all got a, you know, they've all got their place in life, but we're seeing more people go back to that style of cooking, kind of open air cooking.
What's amazing about that is you can add all that aroma, that beautiful smoke aroma, that char flavor, that, you know, even presentation, maybe grill marks, stuff that you can't do in a microwave or in a pouch of food that gets boiled on your stovetop for a few minutes. So we can talk about grilling. I love talking about grilling. There's so many tips and tricks I'd love to give your listeners. So even just one of them, talking about flavor, what kind of wood are you using? You know, get a good hardwood. Are we going with fruit trees? Are we going with nut trees? Are we going, you're up in Pinot Noir country, start going collecting those grapevine trimmings and add those to your grill for that extra depth of flavor. There's so many flavors you can layer and just, you know, the more flavors you put in, then you start getting away from the salt shaker.
Yep.
You know, aggressively season your food with herbs, then you get down on the salt, you lower the predisposition for hypertension. Maybe you can even go with lower levels of fat, which helps some people, or maybe you make marinades. So many people these days are putting such sugary marinades on food, and as we've all learned now, or finally, it's come back into light that sugar is the enemy. It's not the fat.
Yep.
You know, we need fat, and we like fat. And think about the smell of fat cooking away on a grill.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's wonderful. I love it.
No, it is wonderful. And one of the things that we look at here in the Northwest, and of course you having lived here, we have a very abundant, a plethora of different seafood and grilling or smoking like that just makes a great combination out here. So that being said, Chef Gerard, give us some stuff that you would recommend or that you do at in your work dealing with seafood and grilling and smoking.
Well, let's see. If I'm going to give you kind of the 101 or 100 level cooking grilling class, first thing is you got to think about before you grill. This is a really big deal. People take for granted that they can just take meat out. We're such a busy society. Everybody works now. Everybody's forgetting stuff. We're reaching for convenience. We freeze our meats. We buy frozen meats. Don't put it on the counter. Go to work. Come home. Expect to cook and have something that's going to be safe. So first off, I'm going to tell people, thaw your meat in the refrigerator. You know, these days, you can't turn on the news without hearing about a foodborne illness outbreak somewhere.
Oh, sure.
It seems like between E. coli, Listeria, Salmonella. You know, thaw the meat overnight in the refrigerator, ideally. 2 days would be even better. Make sure you thaw those proteins completely. Well, I've had people tell me, well, if I put it on and it's slightly frozen, doesn't that help me get a better rare or medium rare on the inside? I'm like, absolutely not. You know, if your food is thawed completely evenly, it will cook evenly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you don't want to have uncooked spots. And use a thermometer. You know, I don't have to go over all the internal temperatures, but they make thermometers these days that could attach to your smartphone, or they have printed on the sides your safe temperatures. Marination. We talked about adding those flavors. Let's start going with the oils. We love olive oil. We're an olive oil obsessed nation, almost as much as Italy, it seems, these days. And I love it more than most people on the planet, but I see people use it as a marinade when they grill.
Yep.
And most olive oil has a fairly low smoke point, especially people don't want to buy four different types of olive oil. So they buy extra virgin because they say, oh, it's the healthiest, it's clean, it's good for you. But when that hits that high heat, it starts to form these dangerous carcinogens,
yep.
And your food's going to taste kind of rancid and bitter. So the heat...
Chef, we got to take a break. Chef, we got to take a break, but we're going to be back in just a couple minutes with Chef Gerard Vervito. If I said it right, Vervito. Yeah, I did it. Okay.
It's Full Flavored Radio, Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and beautiful KXL in downtown Portland, high on the sixth floor overlooking this gorgeous city. How about that? Hey, if you want to email us, you can do that at Barbecue Nation. That's the letters BBQ Nation at KXL.com. Or you can send us a recipe. Or if you want to comment on something, recipes at KXL.com. And David, the old Facebook.
Barbecue Nation with JT at Facebook. And then same thing there. You can do all the same info there and swing by and give us a like. It helps out a lot.
There you go. We always beg for likes. We like it. Also like to say hi to a couple of our affiliates, KACI in the Dalles and WKWVR in Enterprise. Hello to all of our affiliates down the line. We're talking with Chef Gerard. Here I go again. Vivarito. And pretty close. And we're talking about examples of functional cooking and that. And then we were talking about the oils and stuff. So I want to continue with the oils. Olive oil has a low smoke point. And you're talking about palm oils a little better. And I got to tell you something. I don't do a lot of marinating on my cooking. I'm a kind of a fresh guy. You know, I like the fresh flavors and all that. So there's nothing wrong with
it. Even if you're not going to marinate, it still helps to prevent your food from sticking.
Right.
So, you know, it's like creating a non-stick surface without using something which is kind of bad, like Teflon. And that's why I generally reach for the palm oil. And even more so, I go for this certified sustainable Malaysian palm oil. It's this deep red color. So if you're cooking meat, it gives us this beautiful shine, and it's great source of vitamins A and E and high in tocotrienols. It's good for brain health. It's just a really beautiful buttery mouthfeel. And, you know, I don't want my food to stick to the grill, especially chicken breasts. A lot of people don't realize when they buy chicken or lower grades of meat that if you turn it over, it may have up to 10% water solution because they plump it up with either brine or water.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're selling you that water at $10 a pound. And when that starts to come off on the grill, it creates steam, and then the proteins just bind to the grates, and then you can't flip them over with those beautiful marks. So that's why I always say, you know, a little bit of oil. If you don't want to do a flavorful marinade, just lightly oil your product, lightly oil the grates on the grill. Kind of creates more of a non-stick surface. You know, we're talking about some other helpful hints. Keep your food separate on the grill. You know, keep your proteins away from your vegetables. Maybe do different temperatures. They're not going to cook at the same rate. You know, always get that meat down first. Let it cook. You don't want to be doing a beautiful grilled vegetable selection, and then you take that tri-tip or brisket or something out, and you drag it across the grill, dripping that meat juice on everything, because those vegetables are going to cook really quickly, and you won't cook off all the possible pathogens or all the possible bacteria that could be coming off the meat. Not that it's a bad thing, I mean, but it does have it, so you need to be aware of it, as well as washing your hands and just general food safety. Keep that grill away from the house. You know, I can't tell people how many times I read these stories and then do research. Thousands of home fires a year because you grill too close to your house.
Every holiday season here in Portland, I you can go to the bank on this. Every holiday season, there's a news story somewhere, and we get cold weather. And more so around Christmas than New Year's. But somebody has brought the gas grill in the house or the Weber, and they fired it up because it's cold outside, or the power went off and they want to heat something up. And we've seen this a million times around here. Somebody knocks over the grill. The house catches on fire. Then they're really out of luck, you know?
Yeah, the insurance company is not going to take too kindly to that. I mean, I think that just falls under the common sense laws there.
The house I'm currently living in, when I moved in, there was warped vinyl siding at one part of the house, and we couldn't figure out what it was until we rolled our barbecue around to the backyard, put it against the wall, and what do you know? Perfect shape and size.
Right. A little preformed.
I love it. I love it. So as we were talking, I like the comment, too, you know, about the palm oil, where it helps the brain food. But we should probably serve that around the station here more, David, you know. Be good.
Couldn't hurt
a bit.
Well, you know, I use it a lot for marinades. I use it for grilling. I use it for sautéing. And I spent a lot of time in Southeast Asia. That's how I discovered the product. It's actually the highest used oil on the planet is palm oil. Most people don't realize it. It used to be soybean oil. Now soy is number two. But you got to find it from the right place. And Portlanders are so good about taking care of the environment and their surroundings. And Malaysia is the only sustainable country. I mean, they dedicated 50% of their country's rainforests are protected forever. You know what? You want to take a stab at the U.S.? 4% of our native land is remaining.
Yeah.
So you look at something like that, you know, you want to latch on to a country that really cares. You know, they harvest every 3 months. They protect their wildlife. They've got sanctuaries for all their animals. They really care. But it's the countries like Indonesia and India that just do a wretched job, and that's what gets in the news. So palm oil, of course, traditionally gets the you say the word to some people, and before they even ask where it's from. You know, you could say the same thing about fish or meat. You know, ask someone who poo-poos all over a certain type of oil or vegetable, ask them, say, you know, that fish you just ate, where did that come from? As I teach people, 91% of the fish in the United States of America comes from a foreign country.
Yep.
That is shocking. I mean, that is absolutely nuts. We're not even eating our own fish. We export them, and then we import the cheaper stuff. So we don't know where our fish swam or meats, you know. We've got to start eating, going back to grass-fed.
We're gonna take another break here in a couple minutes. But, you know, if you look at the different, just the levels of grocery stores, and you have – there's a need for this, I understand, but still, you can walk into an unnamed grocery store and you can say it's a first-class type of vegetables, fruits, and that. You walk into another one, a bigger box store, if you will, and you can tell they're kind of second grade, and I'm not talking about an educational level there. And so you can see that, and, you know, but economics force people to do those things, to shop there. But I've always found that a bit curious. We're going to be back with Chef Gerard Vivervito, if I said it. I'm going to get it right eventually. I think I'm pretty close. Anyway, right here on Barbecue Nation on the Radio Northwest Network. Don't go away.
Hang it up and see what tomorrow brings. Dallas, that is all for machine. Houston, too close to New Orleans.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101.
Welcome back to the Nation. That would be the Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and KXL in Portland. You can check us out again at KXL.com. You can go there and you can find the list of shows and you can click on that. Or you can send us an email at BarbecueNation@KXL.com. Also recipes, do that. David, one more time.
Barbecue Nation with JT on Facebook. Swing by and give us a like. It helps a lot.
There you go. We are talking with Chef Gerard Vivervito today. Chef, what do you cook at home?
Let's say right now, if you were to see me, I am rolling out a bunch of freshly made corn tortillas because I'm going to make some fish tacos.
There you go. There you go.
You know, I try to go as much vegetable protein as possible, but I'm a big fan of fish, as my nonprofit says. Yeah. And, you know, meats, I used to shun away from meats, but now with all the new information out there about how fats are good for you again, and people have really done their due diligence, I go for that grass-fed beef. We have so many farmers up here in the Hudson Valley around me, or heritage breed pork, or
sure,
you know, get out to the farmer's market. I'll eat anything. You know, I was, from a young age, always accused of, you know, before I could speak, wondering what kind of sauce would go with something. I was just looking at way in wonderment. So I want to eat everything. I want to experience everything. You know, I was in, I know you're a big barbecue guy. I was in Austin, Texas about two and a half weeks ago. And, you know, for someone who eats as much fish as I did, I probably ate more barbecue than most people do in a lifetime in a matter of a 3-day weekend. So
absolutely.
If someone's excited about what they grow, whether it be an animal or a plant, I'll try it. I'll eat anything.
Okay. Well, you know, I warned you about this now, so it's coming up. It's your shot at the lightning round. Okay, Chef Gerard Viverito, this is your lightning round here on Barbecue Nation. Are you ready?
As ready as I think I'll ever be.
Okay. And these are all pretty short answers here. What is the hardest part of becoming a chef, did you think?
Tolerance. Learning how to tolerate people from all over the world in my kitchen, or learning how to tolerate different personalities on the dining room floor or my servers. I never minded the hours because I am blessed. I don't work for a living. Cooking is playing with food. So
there you go. What have you learned so far? This is kind of a tough one to keep short, so I'll grant you that. What has cooking taught you about life?
What's cooking taught me about life? That always be prepared for the unexpected. You're going to make a tomato sauce? I'll tell you what, no two tomatoes, even off the same plant, could possibly taste the same. So always be prepared for different situations and how to bob and weave and adjust when necessary.
Okay. Metaphorically speaking, how long did it take you to learn not to peek under the lid?
I don't know. I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay. What's your favorite seafood to barbecue or smoke or grill outside?
Wahoo. Tropical fish.
Yep.
Wahoo.
Toughest skill for a beginner that's learning to grill or barbecue to learn?
To keep it low and slow and not rush it.
Okay. Very good.
We start to salivate and get all excited with the smells, and then we want to pull it off.
Oh, yeah. You just want to gnaw on it like we eat with our hands.
Go back to that caveman era.
Yeah, there you go. What barbecue or grilling skill took the longest for you to master?
Proper doneness, I would say. Learning how to gauge what's a good medium rare,
mm-hmm,
without it being too rare or too overdone.
I think that's probably the toughest thing for anybody, really.
Yeah.
Okay. Which of these would you rather barbecue, smoke, or grill? The Thanksgiving turkey, a Yule log, the Christmas goose, the Easter bunny, or, you know, Bugs Bunny?
I'll take the Bugs Bunny and put it inside the Easter Bunny, inside the turkey, and roast it over a Yule log.
There you go. What is the best day for Chef Gerard contain for activities?
Yeah. Does it have to be food related?
No, be anything.
Live music. That's my drug. I just love to go watch another artist perform. And, you know, to me, music is a lot like cooking or vice versa. And you can go to all these different depths and create and expand. And to me, I see so many similarities between food and music. So definitely a night of live music.
Okay. Fill in the blank on this one. Liquid smoke should be used for...
Nothing.
There you go. He gets a ding ding on that one there, David. If we declared you supreme ruler of barbecue for a week, what would you as the supreme ruler decree?
I would decree that the line at Franklin's in Austin would never be allowed to exceed a 25-minute wait.
There you go. I'll talk to Aaron about that for you, okay?
Will you? Because yeah. I cannot believe people line up at 5 in the morning to still wait online for another 4 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Do you have a favorite barbecue book?
You know, I don't. I really, really don't. I'm just still trying to learn as much as I can from as many different sources as I can. And I'd rather, instead of reading, I'm such a visual learner. I need to get in there with the pit masters or the people and watch how they, you could read about how to stoke a fire all day long, but until you see it and feel it and smell it, you just don't get it.
Right.
What about you? Do you have a favorite barbecue book? Is something I should be researching?
Well, I like Aaron's book. I think Aaron's book was really good. Steve Reichlin's new book is really good. And I think Jamie Provance's book is really good because they're more, I explained it to somebody the other day. I said Aaron's book was more like an engineer and Reichlin's book was more like a designer's book. I explained it that way. And you gain a lot from all of them because, like in Aaron's book, it's very technical about stuff. He doesn't give you a lot of recipes or anything like that. It's just like, here's how we do the wood. Here's how we cut the wood. Here's how we soak the wood. Here's how we wrap the brisket, what have you. Stevens.
That to me is a great thing. As I try to tell people, I don't really like recipes. They're good in as much as if you think about it like a directions for a road trip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But what happens when you hit that unexpected traffic jam or that unexpected construction? Do you actually know what you're doing? Do you understand the function of the product and what it's being used for? Because if you do that, then you get to experiment and play. And like Aaron's got a total mastery of the subject. He knows the product, so he
right.
knows how to extract as much flavor as possible.
Well, I always think of recipes, unless it's baking, but to me, recipes are kind of like guidelines because I never take an actual recipe. I may cook it the first time exactly as written, but then I always tinker with it, so I just figure it out that way. So we got a couple more questions for you, though, here, Chef Gerard, on the lightning round. What's the worst place you ever had to cook?
Oh, good God. My present kitchen with its electric stove and too small of a refrigerator.
Oh, I feel sorry for you, man. I do feel sorry for you on that.
I used to be a private chef on yachts. I did a sailboat race from New York to England one year in May of, I think it was 1997. And cooking heeled over a 20-degree angle for 17 days through some pretty nasty, snotty swells wasn't too fun either, but I can at least say I did it.
You did it. Okay, two more questions here because then we're going to have to go to break. Worst concert you ever attended?
Ooh, worst concert I ever attended? Sheena Easton in the 80s.
There you go. Yeah, okay. Last question, Led Zeppelin or Tom Jones?
Tom Jones covering Led Zeppelin.
Oh, God. Oh. I don't even know if they allow that to be put on tracks anymore or anything.
God, I tell you what, I saw a Plant not too long ago, and man, that guy, he still has it. His voice is just awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got it. He's good for another couple eons, is what I would
yeah.
say. Okay, we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation, and we're going to be back with Chef Gerard Viverito after these messages, proper grammar. We'll be back.
Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy.
Welcome back to the Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. It's a pleasure to be with you on this Saturday afternoon. We've got, of course, next weekend's the 4th of July, so don't forget that. We've got Brent Huddleston and Will Homer from Painted Hills Natural Beef are going to be with us talking about what you should be looking for in your hamburgers and your steaks. Those two guys should know there. Really quickly here, why do more barbecue enthusiasts choose Bear Mountain barbecue pellets? I can tell you why, because I use them, and I'm throwing away the script on this. One, there's no glues, there's no perfumes, there's no adhesives. Those pellets are all put together with the natural moisture of the wood, and they are compressed under pressure, and that's what makes them stick together. You can get pretty much any flavor that you want, and the flavors that come in a combination of woods like apple and ash, apple and alder, hickory, cherry, whatever you want. I've been to the plant. I've seen it. So you can find Bear Mountain Forest Products pellets for your pellet stoves or your pellet grills at most retailers around that sell barbecue products, and even some that don't sell them have them. So there you go. Check it out. We are back with Chef Gerard Viverito here. And what's the greatest thing you think you get out of cooking besides, I mean, you know, it, you've described it as you're just, you know, enjoying yourself, playing with food, working with food. It's a passion, obviously, a big one for you. But what else do you think you get out of that?
To me, it just it's so soul satisfying to be able to find a product, vegetable or fish or animal, any of the above, and be able to coax as much flavor out of it and bring it to someone and just see their smile creep across their face when they taste it. And maybe you elicit a childhood memory from them, or you bring them to a place. A food has the ability to transport you. I mean, it can transcend time, and it can transcend place, and it just takes you all through these little portals in your brain. And I think that's what I really love about it, is that I can take people on journeys through cooking.
There you go. Now, you operate the Savoir Fine Catering, but you also, as we said at the very beginning of the show, and I think now's a good time to talk about it because we've only got a few minutes left, Passion Fish. Tell us about Passion Fish.
Passion Fish was founded in the year 2000 in San Diego, and it was in response to a couple of us looking at our seafood deliveries coming in every day, smaller and smaller and more expensive, and saying, what the heck is going on? And then delving deeper and starting to find, you know, populations are dwindling and acidification of the ocean. So we're a nonprofit organization that does educational outreach programs, done them at different aquariums, Scripps Institute of Oceanography in La Jolla, spoken at International Seafood Summit in Barcelona a couple of years back, just trying to educate people, not trying to be advocates, because that's instantly how you lose somebody, just giving them the information. But at first, say, here it is. You can do what you want with it. I'm not going to ram it down your throat. This is what's going on, and just be aware of it. Be aware of your choices. All of our choices have ripple effects.
I think people would make better choices. The one key thing you said there, and it has nothing to do with passion fish, but ramming things down people's throat, you know, we get, it doesn't matter what you're talking about. But anymore with social media and all the electronic media and everything, we're pummeled with that every day. It's like, you've got to do this. And I think by taking the approach of, here's the information, you choose to do with it as you wish, I think that's a great approach. So there you go.
Well, it's worked for us so far, and we've gained a lot of people and followers to our beliefs. And, you know, if people want to check it out, they can go to passionfish.org or even my website, chefgerard.com, and there's links for emails. I'm always willing to answer questions from any listener on any show that wants to delve deeper or you know, learn more, anything to help this planet.
We will
make educated choices.
We will post your website, Passion Fish's website, and all of that. When you come back out to the West Coast, please let us know. I'd love to have you actually in the studio with us.
Perfect, yeah. Hopefully this summer, maybe in August.
Maybe we can do that. We'd like to kind of thank Chef Gerard Viverito for us. When, like I said, we will post his website and stuff on our Facebook page and on the blogs and everywhere you can possibly post it, we're going to post it.
Ram it down.
We're going to jam it in there. Also, like I said, we've got coming up next week is the 4th of July weekend. It's a great weekend for the country, everybody. It's the biggest barbecuing weekend in the whole calendar year. So we're going to have Will Homer from Painted Hills Natural Beef and Brent Huddleston there. McGarian is on deck. I know he is because he was in the studio before I got here today. And Bushlack is backing up there. So Chef Gerard, thank you for being with us. And remember,
thank you for having me.
No problem. Remember, folks, turn it, don't burn it. We'll see you next week.